Hello, and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Hello, this is Dave Watson, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and your host right here on God in Our City. This fall here at Calvary Chapel and on God in Our City, we're delving into a new series called Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Together, we'll be studying the Bible book of Proverbs for 12 weeks. Our hope and prayer is that we all will be wiser for it. We're giving everyone here at Calvary a 12-verse memory packet so that we can, through meditating and memorizing, hide these important truths in our heart. If you'd like the same memory packet free of charge to join us in this endeavor, please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390 to request the memory packet. When you call, please consider giving a gift to God in Our City so that we can continue to present the Word of God clearly to you and those living in our metropolitan area. Again, the verse packet is free and yours just by calling us at 718-720-5390. 718-720-5390. May our Lord richly bless us as we seek to live iSmart in an e-stupid world.
Wow, great singing this morning. That's enough. No more singing. No more friendliness. This is church, people. Give it a program. Hey, if you're just joining us by radio, welcome to Calvary Chapel. If you're joining us by Facebook stream or our regular stream, I need you to go over to the radio. Let me tell you why. The camera adds 30 pounds. And the radio lessens 10 pounds. So the way I see it, if you will listen to me on the radio, I'm 40 pounds lighter and in skinny jeans. I'm just saying. Sam, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
You look a lot better on the radio.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate you saying that. So, but if you're joining us by radio, welcome. We pray that the service will be a blessing to you. I just want to invite all of you, if you've not yet decided to take a course at the New York Institute for Biblical Studies, this is a great semester to take it. We have a course in, a Bible cohort, Bible theology that looks at the entire Bible. We have a course in how to study the Bible. We have a course in We call it Christian Life and Witness. That's a course on really basic Christianity. We also have a course in Bible survey. We have a course in theology. We have courses in all kinds of other important items in counseling and how to counsel. So if you've not yet signed up, you can sign up or call the church office, 718-720-5390. Tell us you're interested. If you're in Bayonne, if you're in Brooklyn, if you're in Jersey somewhere, we're right off the Gothels Bridge. We would love to have you. Well, that's enough advertising. Let's get to some serious stuff. Jay, you have more music.
Yes, sir.
Take it away, my good friend.
Hosanna in the highest.
the splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. All the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light,
darkness tries to hide,
and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
How great. Is our God.
Pray together now. You can applaud first if you want. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Jay, leading us into the presence of our Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, you have been incredibly good to us. Lord, you have forgiven us not some of our sin, but all of our sin. Because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross for us. and rose again. Thank you for all that we have because of him. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that works in our life, that changes us, Lord, from the inside out. Thank you, God, that although we weren't what we could be this past week, we weren't as bad as we could be either. And we thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, were there helping us each step of the way. And Lord, even in times when we didn't recognize you, when we didn't seek you, Lord, you were there. And thank you, God, that in all of this, Lord, you're making us like Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for your protection of our city as we come upon another anniversary of 9/11, Lord, the 17th. Lord, we pray this 17th anniversary on Tuesday that you will just remind us, Lord, of how great you are. And you will wrap your arms around those, Lord, who are still hurting from this incredibly painful, painful, Lord, disaster that came on our city. We ask, Lord, now that you will, as you speak to us, that, Lord, we will listen and we'll say, what do you have us to do? What would you have us to do? And, Lord, we will be compliant. We will be obedient. We will embrace with joy what you have for us. And, Lord, we'll be sure to make sure that we give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As you're getting seated, a couple things. You have within your bulletin a very helpful, we hope, study guide that will take you through not just this week, but every week of our series. The new series that we're beginning today is Living iSmart in an eStupid World. If you're having trouble remembering that, it kind of goes like this. iSmart, eStupid. All right? So if you're having trouble remembering together now, iSmart, eStupid. Just be careful where you're pointing while you do that. We don't want you to have to do any divorce counseling because you use our little illustration there. Also, with regards to that, we've laid this out so it'll actually go through December 2nd with 1 week for our missions report from our team that's going to Italy at the beginning of November. And we also will be doing some memory verse work because the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we want the Bible in us. Doesn't matter how many times you've been through the Bible, it's how many times the Bible's been through you, so we'll talk about that. Now, do I need to argue or set forth some arguments today explaining that the world is stupid? I mean, aren't you pretty sure today that the world we live in is stupid? That it is indeed an e-stupid world, that there's so much craziness, it's almost hard to get your arms around it. All right, so I don't have to argue that. So let me talk just a little bit then about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs was written primarily by Solomon, but he compiles some sayings as well. And Proverbs are brief, pithy sayings for the setting forth of practical wisdom. Someone has said that they are short sentences drawn from long experiences. So they're in a nutshell, it gives you a principle to live by, and that is important for us to understand. They are principles, not promises. They are generally 86.3% true, but not every time are they true. For instance, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he or she should go, and what will happen? Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, is it possible to train up a child in the right way, and at the end of the day, they do the wrong thing? Yes. But the general principle is, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Makes sense, right? It's a principle. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs are foundational for understanding and applying wisdom. The last chapters, 10 through 31, those 21 chapters, are a collection of wisdom sayings. So you can actually study and break down, go verse by verse, and it all connects the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. I did that in college. And then I got to chapter 10, and it was like, these are just a bunch of sayings, one after another. So I thought I was missing something, and I was very frustrated. Then I read a commentary, and it said, there are a bunch of sayings put together. And I said, so that's what it was. Here are some words about wisdom in general. It's not how much we know,
but rather what we do with right information in terms of practice. Do not be overwhelmed by the need to know a lot of facts. Now, we live in an amazing world, don't we? You can Google anything or anybody. But just because you Googled them and you've got facts doesn't mean you have anything. Just because you have a storehouse of information, it's how you use that information. I used to work for Radio Shack, and I could walk you almost through any product that we had at Radio Shack and all the products on and what to do with them. Everything. My problem is I didn't know how to do any of it. I could get, you do this, and then you kind of hook it up like this, it'll work fine. But my hands don't work to do that. I had facts in my head, but I didn't have the ability to put the facts out, to make something out of it. If I had come to your house to install it, it would have never worked. But I could tell you how to do it. As we're talking about wisdom and smarts, you know there are types of smarts, right? There are no smarts at all. Like if you put your hair dryer next to your bathtub, it has a little sign on it. It says, do not put near water. If you do that, you're not smart. You're no smarts. Then there are book smarts. I've got a lot of factual knowledge. I've added up. I read a lot. Now, book smart's a good thing, but it's not something we want to get all hung up on. Then there's street smarts. And everybody wants to talk about street smarts like that's the best smarts. Yo, you know what I mean? I know how to do it. You know what I'm saying? The problem with street smarts is it's not always godly wisdom. You know what I'm saying, Pastor? I know the good book says do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but I'm going to do it to them before they do it to me. Street smarts. Problem with street smarts, sometimes just Sesame Street smart. That's all it is. But it doesn't correlate with the scriptures. So you got to be careful with that. Some people take a lot of pride in their street smarts. And I understand that. But don't get caught up and think you're special because you got street smarts. Then there are Bible smarts. You know your Bible. You know, knowing your Bible is a great thing. It's a very important thing. But if you know lots of verses and you don't apply any of them, you have Bible smarts, but you don't have Bible application. It's taking it from your head, putting it in your life. And that's the last type of smarts, God smarts. We'll call it I smarts. Personal smarts. Based on what God has said and the guidance he gives for the application thereof. Not just knowing truth, but integrating truth into your life. So you are a different person. A person who lives life skillfully. Colossians 1:9 says, and so, from the day we heard, Paul says, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See that phrase, wisdom and understanding? Not just the knowledge of things, but the knowledge of his will, but wisdom and understanding. The putting of that knowledge of his will into practice. Into our lives so that it's more than just something that's up here. It's something that's gone way, way, way down here. Almost spiritual muscle memory where I almost instinctively do what pleases God. Well, where do I start in all this? Well, that's why we call this I Start. It's the beginning. What we're going to talk about is the foundation. If you do not have this foundation, you will not live wisely. You can't skip this. So all the people who skip church today, it's too bad, man. No, we'll send it to them, all right? I start number one. I must embrace the premise of Proverbs. Proverbs, this amazingly interesting book, I must embrace its premise. Well, what is Proverbs' premise? Thousands are asking, what is Proverbs' premise? Okay, two or three people asked. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Proverbs is written for a very specific purpose, and it is to impart to us what we need to really live successfully. I must embrace the necessity of Proverbs. I got this down. I know this stuff. No, you don't. It's written so that you might know wisdom, that you might know instruction, that you might understand words of insight, that you or I might receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. We might be doing the right things. And I must embrace my need for wisdom. Proverbs gives prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Note there are two different groups of people here, the simple and the youth. Now, if you're young, you want to admit that, right? But if you're simple, it's not something you want to be known by, right? But what it's saying is that we need to recognize that we don't have it all together, especially in knowing what's right and what there is to do. So here's the thing I want you to embrace. I am unskilled in life. My favorite verse in all the Bible is the first words of Jeremiah 10:14. Together now, let's read those first words. Every man is stupid. Well, you just stop it, stupid. It works. See, I don't want to admit that. I want to think. I want to have the I want to say, I'm okay, you're okay. Everyone has. I don't have it together. And the way that I look at life is messed up. Secondly, I am uneducated in life. Oh, Pastor, I went to the school of hard knocks. The problem with that is that can leave you bitter, disillusioned, in the wrong place. Pastor, I got degrees. I got this degree. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 14:12? There's a way that seems right to a man. What does it say next? And that's the way you ought to go. You ought to run with that. No. It says, but its end is the way to death. Says the same thing in Proverbs 16:25. So as I'm sitting here thinking, what should I do next? The thing that naturally comes to me is not the thing that I should do. The Bible says regarding God, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. As the heavens are above the earth, so are God's ways different than us. So I say to myself, oh, this makes sense for me to do. Now, I'm not saying that every time that happens, you should not follow common sense. The problem with common sense is it's not common anymore. But beyond that, I need to understand that God may have a different way, a different plan. And where do you find that plan? In God's Word. Now, let me help all of us to understand this, because it's very important we understand this. If God has revealed something in His Word, you can pray about it, but it's not going to change what it says. The Bible says a borrower is servant to a lender. It says that in the Bible. Well, if I pray about that, can I change that? No, it's going to be that. Sometimes we have this thought, if I pray about it, God will make an exception. Maybe I'll come back, I'll read it, it'll be different. What hinders me from embracing the premises of Proverbs? I am hindered, number one, by my own ego. I got this. By my own successes. Look where I have come. In reality, look where I could have gone with God's help. My own comparison with others. Well, I'm not as messed up as this person. Not as messed up as this person. So now we're going to compare levels of stupid. I'm not as stupid as them. Oh, that's great. Great. E-stupid and E-stupider. Okay. And then my own ignorance. I don't know what I don't know. There could be much more that I wish I knew, much more that I should know, that can be explained to me or seen for me through God's Word. And I've not yet grasped that. I must choose to believe what God says about me and my need. Would you do that today? Will you embrace the premise of Proverbs? If you could work this out yourself, Proverbs wouldn't have been written. Why would we have Proverbs if you could just figure it out yourself? The problem is I can't figure it out myself. I can't. I need help from outside. I start number two. I must experience the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. But the word fear here, the Hebrew word yara, is to fear or to revere, to hold in complete awe. The fear of the Lord is the foundation. Is the foundation. Someone has said this about the fear of the Lord. It's seeing God for who He is, seeing ourselves for who we are, then appreciating and responding to the difference. If today you don't have a healthy fear of God, then your problem is you don't see God as He is, and you don't see yourself as you are. Have you ever caught yourself like being this person who thinks you know something? I thought sometimes to myself, I know this, how to handle this. And then I hear a voice, though, and I'm not sure it's God or who. It might be my wife. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Oh, I know that. I got this. Who do you think you are? You peeny, little e-stupid. See God who He is. See yourself for who you are. Appreciate and respond to the difference. God help. God help. The fear of the Lord motivates us to skillful living. Matthew 10:28 is an amazing verse. And it's New Testament. It's not how we like to think about God, but this is New Testament. This isn't Old Testament. What does it say? And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear Him who can destroy both soul and body. Where? Send you to hell. Whoops. Our God is a consuming fire. Oh, God is love. Yes, but He's holy. It gives us a perspective to live correctly. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. It liberates us to do what we should do. It liberates us to do what we should do. A lot of our lives is spent pleasing other people. A lot of our lives is worrying about what other people will think. What does it say about the fear of the Lord? The fear of man lays what? A snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. You don't have to please me. You have to please God. I don't have to please you. I have to please God. You can't worry about what your neighbors are going to think. You can't worry about what your friends are going to think. You can't worry about what society thinks. The only person you have to worry about who thinks about it is God. And that frees you. Oh, if I do that, my parents will be upset with me. If you serve God with all your heart and your parents are upset with you, your parents are upset with you. It's what it is. It's what it is. The fear of the Lord is seen throughout the book of Proverbs. We won't look at all these, but Proverbs 1:29 tells us it's chosen. Proverbs 14:27, it's a fountain of life. Proverbs 19:23, it leads to life. Proverbs 15:33, it teaches a man. Proverbs 22:4, it brings wealth, honor, and life. Proverbs 14:2, it results in an upright life. Proverbs 14:26, it results in security. And Proverbs 28:14, it results in God's blessing. I want God's blessing. I'm going to choose the fear of the Lord. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. The fool is the one who rejects God and His wisdom. Despise here means to hold in contempt, ridicule, or belittle. When I have a specific command from God and I blow it off, I'm belittling what God said. Let me say that again. When I have a specific command from God and I what? Blow it off. You know what? I know it says it, but I'm saying your command isn't that important. Wow. Nobody in this room has done this, so I don't have to worry about it. Why don't I fear God as I should? It's a failure to acknowledge God's greatness and a failure to acknowledge man's poverty. I think either too great of myself or too little of my God. And I have to change that paradigm. What has helped me in some ways is to read the Old Testament. I was reading Ezra this morning, Ezra chapter 9, and Ezra finds out that the people have intermarried, like God had told them not to do. They'd married the people of the land, and Ezra pulls almost all his hair out. Yeah, that would take me like 3 seconds. pulls almost all his hair out, and is just overwhelmed. And then it says the people trembled at what God had said. They trembled. God is real. He is a consuming fire. Whew. The fear of the Lord should drive me also to the cross of Christ. Why? Because I know I'm a sinner. I know I need forgiveness, and I'm thankful that Jesus died for me on that cross and rose again. And by entering into a relationship with God through Christ, I am forgiven and I have eternal life. But that is the basis for all that I have. I never am not in need of the mercy of God. I need a reality check that begins on my face before God. I need to experience the fear of the Lord. I need to embrace the premise of Proverbs. And then I start number three. I must be receptive to those in authority. Wish your kids were here to hear this, don't you? Proverbs 1, 8, and 9 says this. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teachings, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Well, the word here is shamar, shema. It means to hear, to hearken, to listen and obey, shema. The Hebrew for teachings is makar, which means instructions, chastisement, warnings, not just nice teachings. It's tough stuff. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, when it talks about God's word, says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. But that word here is shema. Again, it's listen and obey. So listen, and to the best of your ability, obey, in this case, the authority figures in your life are your parents. Proverbs itself is a set of parental admonitions. That's what Proverbs is. It's mom and dad talking to the kids. In fact, one of the best things you can do to kids is teach them Proverbs and teach them more Proverbs. And as they get older, teach them Proverbs. Why? Because Proverbs are principles you can live skillfully through. Proverbs are amazing that way. Here are all a few of the admonitions that are parental in Proverbs 2:1, 3:1, 4:1. We are actually told to make our parents proud by the way we live. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice by the way you live. And it says also that we should listen to them even when they're old. Does that mean you do what your parents tell you to do when they're old? No. But it means you listen. You listen. You give them that respect. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Listening to their instructions make us attractive. They're like pendants. It's like great accessories. It says that pendant word, the Hebrew is anak. It's an adornment worn around the neck, which may include both the chain around the neck and a pendant. It's jewels, maybe attached to a chain, but it sets off who you are. So our attitude toward authority is huge. Who are the authority figures in my life? A short boss who screams at me? Government? Parents? Church leaders? My attitude toward them is a reflection of my attitude toward what God says. You say, oh, no. My reflection toward authority, my reaction to authority figures I see prefigures my reaction to God who I can't see. I can speak honestly to you today. You may have noticed I'm a bit of a rebel. Serious. You didn't even know that, right? You don't believe it. So when someone tells me what to do, you know what I do? I go, who do they think they are? No, I never say that outright. I'll be with a group of people, senior pastors, whatever. Someone will come across a little wrong to me, and I'll think, they got like 17 years here. I got 28, man. What's up with this guy? I have to check myself all the time because my attitude toward authority figures in my life reflects my attitude toward God. I don't want to be told what to do by anybody. And I need to be told what to do by a lot of people. Don't take any cues from that, Debbie. You're going to go home and it's going to be the longest list you ever saw. I'll pray for you, Archer. You're in huge trouble now. Number four, I must reject bad influences. Proverbs 1:10 through 19. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths." Whoa. Sinners here are those whose lifestyle is that of sin. They are in some way living in sin. People who are not right with God, they will seek to allure us and deceive us. And, you know, people want validation for what they're doing. So someone is living wrongly. They say, "Oh, come on, you should do this too. Or it's okay if you do this. Why? I'm doing it. He's stupid. He's stupid too if you do what they're doing." The Hebrew word talks about don't be willing to go with them. We're told not even to walk in the way with them in Psalm 1. 1 Corinthians 15:33, it's an amazing verse. It says, "Bad company corrupts what? Good morals." When my daughter was very young, my oldest daughter, 5 or 6 years old, we used to have this book of Proverbs. And we would go through the book of Proverbs with her every night, reading various Proverbs and sayings. Well, one of them was about the company you should keep. So she in her school, a Christian school, was at the table with the kids who were very good, who didn't talk. Well, they had a talking table around the corner. They took her off that table and put her with the kids who talk. So she wrote on a piece of paper, "Good company or bad company corrupts good morals," and put it in the suggestion box for the teacher. Because it's true. Bad company, it doesn't work the other way. Good doesn't influence bad, but bad influences good. It's what it is. You want me to make up some different rule? I can't. That's what it is. So I need to say to myself, who am I hanging with, and what are they doing to me? Oh, I'm going to influence them for good. Come on, stop it. Bad company corrupts good morals. Oops. Note their motives. "We shall find all precious goods," they say. "We fill our houses with plunder. Such are the ways of everyone who's greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors." Their goal is greed. They want more. And note their undoing. "For in vain a net is spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives." What's going to happen to these individuals in the end? If you want a verse about what goes around comes around, there it is. They're trying to get you to do what they're doing, and in the end, what's going to happen to them? They're going to get messed up. What are the sources of influence in my life? Social media. Now we got a whole world that can get us involved in junk. Friends, print media, video and audio media, all of those have the potential to mess with us. That's why we have to be incredibly careful what we allow in our lives. Most of us watch things in TV we'd never allow in our house otherwise. The rejection of bad influences requires two things: pulling away as well as not following. It doesn't simply mean I'm not going to do what they want me to do. It means I'm going to go somewhere else. That's the extent of the rejection. I start, number five, I must accept wisdom's invitation. Let me just say this, it won't cost you anything more. If you give me a list of your friends, the people you hang around with most, the people who are your BFFs or whatever, I can tell you what the direction of your life is going to be. The trajectory. You can't soar with the eagles when you're hanging with turkeys. Your life cannot be radically different with individuals who do not have that same goal. How many of us have seen it? A guy's getting a divorce from his wife. So he grabs a friend who's happily married, hangs with that friend, and so all of a sudden the friend's thinking he needs to get a divorce. Why? How many of you have seen that? Seen a woman at work, there's two women who are getting a divorce. Woman is, quote, happily married. She comes home and what? Oh, Someone's bitterness has spilled onto her. Now, I'm not saying you don't have reason to complain about your husband. I know most of your husbands. Let's not go there. But what I'm saying is the influences that are out there will determine the trajectory of your life. Have people in your life who affirm your values. Have someone in your life. Please, have someone in your life who will say, you turn around right now and bend down and says, I'm going to kick you so hard in your rear end for being stupid that you're not going to believe it. Everyone needs that person. Well, then I must accept wisdom's invitation. Here's wisdom's call. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets. She raises her voices. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Wisdom makes herself known. She makes herself known throughout this city, throughout its streets. It's a public call. It's an audible call, and it's a confronting call. Can you hear it? How long do you want to be simple? How long do you want to live this way? Getting second best, getting third best, ruining your life. How long do you want to do that? Wisdom condition. Uh-oh. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. The first step, watch this, is being willing to turn at wisdom's slap, as it were. What I want to do is I want wisdom to lay out everything for me, and then I'll determine what I want to take. I'll take a little of this. No, I don't like that one. Little of this, I'm good. Oh, that's good. Wisdom's table is not a la carte. It's like eating at grandma's. Eat what's put before you. Turn at my reproof. Turn away, and I'll teach you. I'll teach you more. I'll show you the way to go. But if you're not willing to turn away, if you're not willing to go my path, I'm not going to give you any more because I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my time. One of the hardest ministries anyone will have is counseling. Is that right, Pastor Schooling? Because the frustrating end is you give people good advice and then they come back not having done the good advice. What do you want? So you don't like the good advice? You want me to give you other advice? Well, that's all the advice I have. Turn at the reproof of wisdom, and wisdom will teach you so much more. Amen. And then wisdom's consequence, I also will what? Laugh at your calamity. We don't like that thought. I will mock when terror strikes you. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. Have you ever done something really stupid and had somebody laugh at you? Oh, that's horrible. Especially if they warned you beforehand. You know what this verse is? This verse is every parent's dream. It's the I told you so verse. I told you so. We don't want wisdom to be that way, right? We want wisdom to say, oh, I'm so sorry things didn't work out. But wisdom personified here says it laughs at your calamity. Look at that. You messed up your life. I told you so. I told you so. I told you if you dated that lost guy, this is what was happening. And what did you do? You dated him anyway. This is what happens. This is what happens. And then it says, they shall eat of the fruit of their way. Wisdom will laugh at our calamity. But beyond that, it will ensure I reap what I sow. Somebody say, ouch. How many of you believe in the laws of gravity? Laws of gravity don't apply to me. Those of you watching, but listening by radio, I'm jumping off the platform. I can jump off a million times. The only result will be I get to see a knee surgeon. Because I can't break the laws of gravity. Unless I get a backpack on or do something different. The laws of God's universe, they're not breakable. You reap what you sow. That's what it is. Yes, but God is merciful. Yes, God is merciful, but there's still consequences. There's still consequences. I reap what I sow. So I have to ask myself, what are the invitations I'm receiving? And I'm required to make a clear-cut choice. I must obey wisdom's call. I must follow it. I must accept the invitation. So today, the five starters here, the I start. I must embrace the premise of Proverbs. It was written because I need it. I must experience the fear of the Lord. See God for who He is. See myself for who I am and appreciate the difference. I must be receptive to authority. I must, when that check goes on, when that little thing goes on in me, go, who do they think they are? I'm not doing that. I must say, that's not right. I need to obey God rather than men, but that doesn't mean I get to always obey God rather than men. Sometimes I got to obey men. I need to reject. I need to look at my list of friends. I need to look at my Facebook people. I need my Twitter people. And mostly I need to look at the people I surround myself with. And I need to accept the invitation of wisdom. Now, I'm trying to make this practical. So here's a single guy who wants to date with the purpose of marriage. Aren't those flowers nice? Wow. So let's help him. First of all, the young man needs to embrace the premise of Proverbs. He must embrace that premise, that he needs help figuring out how to date right, that he can't just do this on his own. He needs to experience the fear of the Lord. He needs to say, God, I'm afraid of you, so I'm going to do this right. I'm going to do this in a way that pleases you. He needs to be receptive to authority. He needs to talk to his pastor. He needs to talk to his parents. He needs to talk to the elders in his life. And he needs to reject bad influences. There are plenty of guys who are going to tell you how to date. Plenty of guys who will give you instruction on dating and hooking a hot chick. They're the last people you want to listen to. And he needs to accept the invitation of wisdom. Now we got a woman wanting to begin a business. A woman wanting to begin a business. She has the same possibilities. She needs to embrace the premise of Proverbs. How do you do a business? I don't know how to do it. I need help. Proverbs is filled with advice about business.
Hello, this is Dave Watson, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and your host right here on God in Our City. This fall here at Calvary Chapel and on God in Our City, we're delving into a new series called Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Together, we'll be studying the Bible book of Proverbs for 12 weeks. Our hope and prayer is that we all will be wiser for it. We're giving everyone here at Calvary a 12-verse memory packet so that we can, through meditating and memorizing, hide these important truths in our heart. If you'd like the same memory packet free of charge to join us in this endeavor, please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390 to request the memory packet. When you call, please consider giving a gift to God in Our City so that we can continue to present the Word of God clearly to you and those living in our metropolitan area. Again, the verse pack is free and yours just by calling us at 718-720-5390, 718-720-5390. May our Lord richly bless us as we seek to live iSmart in an e-stupid world.
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.